It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Tanner Olson, and this is the Walk a Little Slower podcast. Here we talk about hope and heaviness, creating and continuing joy and sorrow, life and God, questions and answers, and everything in between. This is a podcast where you are invited to slow down, to lean in, to hold fast, and to eventually keep going. Welcome. Welcome back to another episode of the Walk a Little Slower podcast. It's me, Tanner,
your host,
and I'm just happy to be here. And as always, I'm just happy that you are here as well. If you are a longtime listener of this podcast, you know, that's really how I start every episode. But it's true, even though it's repeated time and time again, I really am happy that you are here. If you're new to the podcast, make sure to take a moment to subscribe. If you haven't yet left a review on Apple Podcasts, if that's where you're listening, go ahead, leave a review. If you're listening on Spotify, on the Spotify app on your phone, feel free to leave a review as well on there. You know what? I'll be honest. I'm never upset about a 5-star review. So if you would love to do that, I would not be disappointed. Anyways, if you've been listening to the last couple episodes, you know that I'm in this season of sharing interviews and conversations with friends and people that I just wanted to meet. And I put it out a couple of weeks ago that I would love to do some interviews with some folks. And my friend Ryan messaged me. His name's Ryan Shea. Ryan is a former collegiate athlete and a divinity student at Liberty University. He is an author and a mentor and a speaker. And his most recent book being Abiding, Living Life Abundantly. Ryan has a heart for sharing the gospel and aims to continue writing and speaking and eventually to be a pastor at a church. When he messaged me, I was excited. It's always fun to get to meet new people, to hear their story, to learn about the things that they are doing. The longer that I podcast, the longer that I get to travel around the country to meet people, I'm just amazed at all the different stories that are out there, on all the different ways that people seek to spread hope and announce love and invite people into something bigger than themselves. And so it was an awesome opportunity to sit down and to talk with Ryan Shea. So I hope that you enjoy our conversation, and then make sure to check out the show notes as well. All right, here is my conversation with my new friend, Ryan Shea. Ryan, this is our first time meeting, so this is going to be a helpful question for me. When you meet somebody and they ask, Ryan, what do you do? What do you tell them?
What do I do? I would say I am projected to go into the ministry. I do a lot of speaking and writing, and I'm fueled by instilling hope into people through the gospel and writing, of course. I would say, obviously, former be like, yeah, I'm an athlete, you know, I'm a collegiate baseball player. But now I would say, man, I'm just a human, man. I'm ready to connect with people and empathize with people and touch them in a way that only the Lord can do.
You played baseball in college. Did you have a favorite team growing up?
I was a Nats fan, man, being from D.C. So that was my team for sure. Huge. Yeah. I still am a Nats fan big time. But yeah, baseball was a big part of my life. I thought that was going to be it, man. Yeah. And then the Lord kind of 180'd it real quick. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the pod, but it's like, it was crazy how it all worked out, but I'm so grateful for it and what's came.
Oh,
up.
Man. First of all, this is the podcast. We're in it now.
No, come on.
Like, this is
come
it. On. You're in it. So well, then let's back up just a little bit too, because I'm always fascinated. Because I think about this a lot with myself. Now, you and I are a little bit with an age difference. I'm going to be, this is going to hurt to say, I'm going to be 35 later this year. But so like where, but on. when I look back, you know, my growing up, it was all basketball, right? It was all, and for you, you kind of mentioned this earlier, like it was baseball. What did that shift look like when the sport that you love was no longer in front and it was now ministry that took over?
It's so easy, man, for especially like as an athlete, it's so easy to connect that to your identity, right? And it's like who I am is based on what I do and how I perform, right? So like a big part of my life, especially early on, was living in this state of who I am and what I'm worth, my value as a person is all dictated on how I perform on the field. And it got to a point for me where I was a senior in high school. And I was getting ready to come to college and play baseball and like pursue all these big things. And COVID hits and everything shuts down. And my baseball career kind of takes a big halt, right? And now I'm faced with this question of, man, like, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. Like, I know I have plans for my life that I want to pursue, but at the end of the day, they're not really coming to pass. And it was in that season where everything kind of slowed down for me. And I was like, man, I say I'm a Christian. I say I believe in Jesus, right? I've never read the Bible in my life. Never done it. Right. And I'm faced with this question, like, man, if I really say that I'm something, am I committing to this? Like, I should really, really dive into this if I say that I'm invested. And it was in that season where I just got my hands on everything that I could. And I was like, I want to know the heart of God. And 4 or 5 months later, I'm like, man, I want to go into ministry. Like, I don't even care about baseball anymore. Like, I'm out. And I remember, man, I was getting ready to like call Liberty and be like, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm not coming. Like, I'm done. And like, obviously financially, like that wasn't very wise. I wasn't thinking about that as a high schooler. But I was like, man, like the interest isn't there, but more so like I have a greater purpose. Like that was the recognition for me. And I got here, I still played 2 years. Like I was on the team and I love my time on the team. But it got to a point for me where I recognized like I could have plans for my life. I could have ideas, agendas. But at the end of the day, only when I give up my life is when I find it, right? And it got to a point for me, it was like, there's something so much greater, man. And it's been very good.
Was there any part of like any kind of grief in letting go of baseball for you?
Yeah, there was, man. There was. I was my story's a little different to where I wasn't like pulled out of the game, an injury didn't take me out. It was kind of a gradual like understanding and realization that this ain't for you, man. You know, so I went through, you know, weeks, months of like, you know, you're not really playing, so you're not really playing well. And it was just a day by day of like, man, like this is really happening. Right. And like that's a tough thing to swallow, man. That's a tough pill to swallow. And for me, I had to really come to a point where I questioned, you know, like, God, are you really good right now? Right. 'Cause you're not really giving me what I want. Right. You're not really fulfilling my agenda. And I remember sitting there, I'm like looking at the sky and it's cold as I don't know what. And I'm like, God, I don't really know if I could say you're good, you know, because I'm dealing with grief and hardship that I didn't really want to go through. And it came to a point for me where I was like, you know what, like I can rest assured that God can be good even when my life is not good. And no matter what career I have, that God values more my character than my career. Right. So at the end of the day, no matter what I do, like it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, who I am is more important than what I do. And I could rest assured in that to say, you know what, if that's not this, then let it be, you know, let your will be done. So definitely grief season, but it worked out for the good.
Yeah, there is something. I think we go through those seasons again and again and again where the way we think life is going to be, it just does not become that. And so you're kind of left with these questions and these wondering, and kind of like you said, like, you know, God, where are you? Are you even, do you even care? Are you even in this? And the response back is, yep. You know, like I do. You just like, you know, it's this whole again and again and again of, and you talk about this, you wrote a book about abiding, but it is this whole the whole beautiful invitation to trust God as you go forward. Tell us a little bit about your book, Abiding, Living Life Abundantly. How did that come about? Because you're not like, you just mentioned like you're in college, you know, and so you're like, I'm gonna write a book. But what was that process like? How did this all become?
Yeah, so like I said, in high school, I had that season of life where I just dug really deep into the Bible and like reading from cover to cover, it's like, man, there's a story and a character of God that a lot of people don't know about, right? You go into church today and it's like you either hear one of two things where it's like you either follow all the rules or else he doesn't love you, right? Or it's like if you're not perfect, then you don't belong here. And it got to a point for me where I was like, I'm reading the scripture and I'm like, this is not the character and nature of God. Like, there's so much more to that. There's so much more love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. So, like, there's no room for this religious requirement, surface level relationship. And for me, it got to a point where I went through that season in high school and I did everything right. But at some point, like, I still recognized I had all the head knowledge, but I had no heart transformation, right? Like, I knew all the answers, had all the verses memorized, right? But at the end of the day, like, my heart was still dead and silent. And like, I was still living apart from God. And I got really good at being spiritual and being religious without having a relationship with Jesus. And that scared me, man. That scared me big time. Cause it's like, this is the story of America and the world today, right? Where you have so many people putting on a front of this religious hypocrisy face where it's like, they don't even know the heart of God. And I fell to this, I fell into a really deep season of like sin and shame and like, just, I was never going to be good enough. And this is what I learned. This is what ultimately led me to writing the book, is I learned this, is that guilt says I did something bad, right? But shame says I am bad, you know, right? So guilt says, man, I made a mistake. But shame's like, I am a mistake, right? And what our spiritual enemy starts to do is he starts to connect our actions to our identity, thinking that, man, you're never going to be enough, right? You're too far gone for God. You're like, you're not going to be good enough. And it's like, that's not the story in the scripture, right? Because Jesus says there is now no more condemnation. That's Romans 8:1. Like, there's no room for shame. And what I learned is that in the midst of my sin and my guilt, it's like I can live in freedom apart from thinking that I don't have to follow the rules, right? Because grace wins every time. The enemy wants to define us by our shame, but Jesus wants to define us by our scars. So abiding came to the point where I recognized there's so much more to the story than just checking off a box, you know? Yeah. And you actually have to know the heart of God and draw near to him. And it's like, man, this is something that a lot of us are missing out on. So I felt, I was like, man, I'm going to just write. Like, why not? And it just, it came to be, man. And it's been very fruitful. The Lord has been very good and blessed it. But it's a story that I wish I understood earlier. I think a lot of people in today's world are missing that.
Yeah. Do you find that? Because that's one of the reasons why I write is I write because I need, these are the things that I either need to hear now or needed to hear when I was younger. And that's kind of what you're saying about the book Abiding. Like, you, this is something that you needed to hear, right?
That's right. That's right, man.
So, and it's right. Like, it's a timeless message, because it's the truth. The truth just seems to find a way to continue to reveal itself and unravel and carry us and move us forward. But I like that part, you know, you were saying, well, I don't like it because it's hard stuff. But when you're in this season where it's all outward and nothing is happening on the inside, and there's that transformation. So as you're reading scripture, did you just kind of feel your heart begin to soften?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Before reading it, you know, I'm thinking like, how in the world am I going to become this kind of person that God is calling me to be? Right. Because all the time you hear like the goal, if you're a Christian, is to be like Jesus, right? Like, that's the goal. And it almost sets you up for failure, because it's like, I have this standard that I'm supposed to meet that I was never created to meet. Right. Especially with our sinful nature. And I think the aim is not to be like Jesus, to be perfect, right? The aim is to walk with him and experience transformation. And those things are totally different, right? Because the reality of it is, the more you read the scripture, the more you walk with Christ, it's like, it's just a byproduct of who you are, right? Mm-hmm. You start to walk closer to him, and it's like, that's just going to overflow out into your life because you made the decision to seek him. And that was something that I didn't understand, man, until I really dug deep. So that's so right.
Yeah. I one time heard a pastor say, you know, like, faithfulness is the goal. Like, that's what it's all about. And I think when we talk about faithfulness, we're also talking about abiding, of I am walking side by side with God, knowing that he walks side by side with me. And that's right. When transformation really begins to happen. What does the word abide mean to you?
That's a good question, man. The word abide, I think abiding to me is, it, to put it in a question, it's like, how desperate are you to know the heart of God? And I think the realization is that it's not very hard, you know, like, your intimacy with God does not come from working for it. It doesn't come from good behavior. All you have to do is seek him, right? If you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me, Jeremiah 29:13. It's like, you can abide in Christ by just walking with him daily. Right. Like, is that going to turn into spiritual disciplines and like certain things? Like, absolutely it will. But if you focus on those things first, you can almost complete those things and completely miss it altogether. Right. Because the motive isn't there. So to me, abiding, it's a heart in a state of gratitude that says, Lord, because you've come into my life, right, to die for me in my place, to forgive me of my sin, I have the opportunity now to seek you. And because I love you, then there's nothing else I'd rather do. than to seek you, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. It's not like, man, like you better do it or else you're getting, you know, you're going to hell and you're not going to belong here, right? It's like, no, like if you love me, like let's do this thing. You know, let's do this thing called life. And I'm right here with you to walk next to you. And all you have to do is tag along with me. And it's a beautiful picture that a lot of people are missing out on.
Yeah, I always think of it as like we get to live our lives as a response to the open tomb, right? Mm. Like what Jesus has done, it is over, it is finished. And now we get to live that out. I always put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, to be perfect. But nowadays I keep reminding myself that like I'm invited, you know, I'm invited. There's a seat for me at the table. Like there's a seat for me at the table and we just get to enjoy it. And there's so much to enjoy. So many gifts that we've been given that, I don't know, I think I'm good at missing them because I'm so worried about the things that I have to do that I skip out on rest, or I'm always looking ahead at what's around the corner rather than just simply being right where I am and enjoying the fact that the tomb is empty. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, man. That's really good. Really good. I can attest to that as well.
What was the writing process like for you? I'm always curious about that. Because for me, when I write, I'm just like chipping away slowly. And some people just like sit down and it's just like, there it is.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know what it is. I wouldn't really say I'm a very diligent writer. The Lord has been good to me in that area. But if you could just imagine me as a young high school kid, my desire as a young Christian was like, I'm going to be that guy that points to the sky after he hits a home run, has a verse in his Instagram bio. Like that's going to be me. Right.
Yeah.
And that inevitably led to like me thinking, okay, like, is there a way that I could share my faith in this small circle I'm in? I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go for something crazy. And I started making these like iMessage Bible devotional group chats. Sure. As like a 15-year-old kid. So then every day it was my duty to write a devotional for 5, 6, 7 people. So that's where I kind of started writing. And then the Lord honestly completely blessed that area to where now, like to this day, I actually still do this. And there's more than like 350, 400 people in these group chats. And that's awesome. Created this thing in me where I was like, I actually enjoy writing. You know, like this is something that allows me to share my heart to a lot of people about what I've experienced in a way that it could reach more people than I actually know. And then in high school around COVID, I wrote 2 books in high school as well. And they're much smaller scale. But it was like, man, like I have all the time in the world with COVID now, but also like I have a message that I want to share, man. Like if I've experienced something good, why would I not want to share that? Writing just created an outlet for me to be able to be open and share completely wholeheartedly what I was experiencing. And this book, this is a totally different process, man. Cause like you said, I was in college. It was my first year as a baseball player. So I'm trying to balance time and scheduling and like free availability, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And I remember a lot of my like Christmas and Thanksgiving breaks were spent typing and writing on this book, honestly. But it was good, man. It was in that season where, like I said earlier, I was kind of already on my way out. So I was kind of ready to kind of transition. I remember every time I'd sit down and like, Lord, whatever you have in these 3 or 4 pages, like bring it on, you know, if there's anything that is not of you, man, like do not give it to me. And it's an intimate time. It's definitely an intimate time. And I'm excited to see what's next.
It is. There's the process of writing a book is so revealing. It almost like strips everything away from you when you're like, well, this is what I'm going to put out into the world. This is what this is. And I think that like the content of your book, like I write a lot of poetry and just like personal stories and stuff like that. But what you're communicating in this is deeper is not the right word. It's just a different way of coming about the truth.
But definitely.
So as you're writing, are you like having to check yourself again and again?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I'm definitely, because I mean, you know how it is. Like, it's so easy. You're writing something and the thought pops in. It's like, okay, I'm not really sure if that's not like right or correct.
Yeah.
But like, is it from God, right? Like, is it something that is divinely inspired from the words that I'm going to say? Because like, our job as creators and writers, right, is to create a space where you can communicate something in a way that's different from what's already been communicated and easier to understand. Right. Sure. So for me, it's like I had to definitely check myself and always go back to the Bible. Like, let me just make sure this is it. Right. Just to double check. But it's like, yeah, I mean, I think the practical application that you get from the scriptures, like there's so much power in sharing that through words. And I think even more so the life you live and the actions behind it. It's like, man, this is it right here, you know? So definitely.
Yeah. As I was working on, my last book, it's a book of poems and prayers. As I was going through it, I was like, just wanting to spend more time with it and like really make sure it was right. Like the thing that I really, really wanted to say, how was like the editing process for you with this book?
Yeah. A long
I know it's like
time,
a weird
man.
Question. It's like editing is not the fun part of writing. Like it's it's not. Like writing is the fun part. Even like copping on podcasts, that's the fun part. But the editing part, I think oftentimes we overlook the place where we get to make all of the changes. So as you were editing, what was that like for you?
Yeah, as you know, man, a lot of strain, right? And a lot of just tiresome work that comes with editing, like you're saying. But something that truly blessed me in the process of editing was, I mean, I would go back like in the book and I'd read something. And I'm like, dude, I don't even remember writing this. Like it was so long ago. And it's like, you know, like this is like brand new to me, you know, and it almost creates a space for you to improve it if necessary. But you also read it again. It's like, this touches my own heart. Right? Oh, yeah. And I think that is the ideal situation where you allow yourself to surrender all of your thoughts and feelings and desires. And it's like, Lord, have your way in this writing. And then 4 or 6 months down the later, you're like, this actually just impacted me. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately like that is the main goal, right? Like you can impact millions or you can impact one. And if that one is yourself in the process of writing, like it was all the more worth it, you know?
And that's really, I think for me, one of the reasons why I write is, I mean, a lot of it is kind of like, it's just kind of a way that I get to work out my faith. Right. And I think like, you know, the editing process, kind of like what we were saying earlier in the podcast of just like the changes that we get to go through. But also as at least when I'm editing, there are a lot of good lies that are pretty easy to believe. Like this isn't any good. No one's going to like this, like kind of like fighting against that and pushing back and being, and then remembering, no, this is the thing that I believe I'm supposed to be doing. Like the thing that I'm like invited to share with the world. When you finally release the book, you put it out there. What was that like?
Surreal, man. As you know, definitely surreal. I was very, very grateful and blessed to just being at Liberty. Like Liberty, the school did a lot of promotion and sharing within the book, especially like as an athlete. They're going to jump on that whenever they can. An athlete doing something else cool. It's like, that's how it works, you know? And I was like, I'm not even an athlete. I don't even play. But yeah, it was cool, man. It was definitely something that all the work you put in, all the writing and hours and stuff, definitely cool to see. And then just to share it with somebody, obviously, putting it in their hands is always a blessing.
Are you working on anything else?
I am. I'm actually working on another one. I'm hoping to have the manuscript done by the summer. And then, as you said, with the editing, that could take forever. So we'll see when that comes out.
The editing is the good stuff. That's a hard thing that people like, they don't want to talk about the editing. They want to talk about the writing and like, what's your routine and when do you wake up and you know, all this kind of stuff. And for me, it's like the editing process, like makes the book. Like you have to be willing to kill some things off in order to let some other parts of it grow. And man, I don't know if you've ever had an editor, but they are the nicest people who are ruthless in the best kind of way.
Brutal.
Like just to have them just tear it apart and be like, I sat down with my last editor and I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, pretty sensitive guy over here. So I'm going to need you to do like a compliment sandwich. Like, tell me what I'm doing right. And then absolutely destroy me. And then finish it up with like, hey, this also isn't that bad. Just so I don't leave walking away wounded. Ryan, before we close out the podcast, we need to play a game. The game is called Finish the Sentence. Do you want to guess how the game works?
I had to finish the sentence.
Very good. Well done. So
come
far,
on.
It's 1 point.
Come on.
All right. I'll start a sentence. You will finish the sentence. The
what
first sentence is, the perfect breakfast is?
Man, for me, the perfect breakfast is egg, potato, some sort of meat, and a burrito. Nice and heavy.
Are you
I'm
a breakfast
huge
taco
guy?
Are you
a
breakfast
taco
guy?
Breakfast taco all day.
Have you made it down to Texas?
No, I've heard they're incredible there.
This is I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but you need to make a trip. You need to make a trip to Texas and just do a breakfast taco tour. You will not be disappointed. Okay, next one. Here's what I know about heaven.
Here's what I know about heaven. No matter what you experience on this earth in this life, the glories of being with Christ face to face will be all the more worth it.
Well, that'll preach.
When I wake up tomorrow, I will get up, eat my breakfast, read my Bible, and go to school.
I don't know much, but I know for certain that
Tanner Olson is doing a lot for this world. Come on.
You know what? Very kind of you to say. All right. Last one. I would tell my eighth grade self that
you don't have to live for the approval of man because you have the approval of God. Whose you are is more important than who you are.
I think that's like a, for you, that feels like a message that continues to come out again and again, is this message of identity in truth, and kind of what you're, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier about baseball. And I felt this too, like when I was in high school, like it was all basketball, like that was everything for me. And so to kind of share that message with like those who are younger than us, middle schoolers, high schoolers, and offering like the, hey, this is where your true identity is. And you can live this out and rest in it. That's a beautiful thing. Ryan, thanks so much for taking some time to hang out and for writing this book and the next couple of books that you'll be putting out. Where can we follow along with your work?
All of my books are on Amazon. If you search up Ryan Shea on Google, I'm sure you can find some stuff. I'd love to connect with anybody and look forward to seeing where this goes. Let's go.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much for your time. And hopefully we'll be able to hang out face to face one of these days.
Come on. Tanner, thank you so much for having me, bro. It's been a blast.